Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass, high as hell and everything.
You know what? I went on a rant, and my mic wasn't open, I don't think. So I got to do it again. Today's podcast is titled Kanye West's Chess Strategy. And Kanye he's sort of a polarizing figure. He's a first-generation billionaire. But if Kanye ran for president again, I'd vote for him. Simply on the video that I received this morning, I wasn't going to have do a No One Lives Here thing today. But after I got the video, and I posted the video on our Facebook page, It's My House TV. It's My House TV. Go there now. And I reposted the maps that I've been posting all week titled No One Lives Here. And then I posted two other pictures of Kanye purchased a 4,000 acres of land in Wyoming. And so there's a picture of that land, and then there's a picture of him with the land as well. All right. I added those two pictures on. And Let's do a little bit of arithmetic here. All right. And once again, he's a first-generation billionaire. So he purchased 4,000 acres of land in Wyoming. And on the maps that I provided you, where no one lives here, but the green maps, if you look, you know, the green and white maps, just visualize where Wyoming is on those maps. What's the predominant or the dominant color of the state of Wyoming? And then there's a global map that's pink and white. And look on the United States side and then look at, visualize where Wyoming would be on that map. And what's the dominant color there? 4,000 acres of land. So an acre is, let me get it right, 43,560 square feet. Okay. About the size of a football field, but it's 43,560 square feet. So let's multiply 4,000 times 43,560 square feet. So he's purchased 174,240,000 square feet of land in Wyoming. Under which, you know, there's underground water as one of the natural resources. And just on that transaction alone, you can spend that up to about $1 billion. Now, forget about trying to find oil. No oil. Let's say there's no oil there. There's no gold there, no silver, nothing like that. But, man, I'll settle for the water, the groundwater alone, under 174 million plus square feet of that square feet is footage now. That's what 4,000 acres converts to 174 million plus square feet of natural resources. All right. Now, I got some program notes. I want to do a little review of civil rights in relationship to on our It's My House TV page on Facebook. Play that Kanye video, and we're going to comment on that in relation to some critical mass thinking of Black America in the United States, including something that Martin Luther King said.
Say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass, high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars it is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back out the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pull up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning.
They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Woo. It was an abandoned fucking house. And it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb. Many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family going to live in there? Is they going to... I'm going to get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
All right, today's podcast is titled Kanye West's Chess Strategy, and as I stated before that little break, that I received a text message in the wee early, about, man, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. A friend of mine sent me a text message of Kanye West, and I have posted it on It's My House TV Facebook page, and essentially Kanye, until we... Because I got to figure out a way to load up. I had to figure out a new way to load up videos, I mean audio, on this platform. That's why I'm playing a whole lot of old stuff repeatedly. And I got to dump out what I have and start new. Anyway, but long story short of that video, it's a short video. Kanye purchased the 4,000-acre plot of land, in the state of Wyoming. And I posted the maps up there. No one lives here. And Wyoming is one of those states where it's heavily green. All right. Now, the reason why I'm calling this stream Kanye West Chess Strategy, you know, I don't really follow Kanye like that, but I like this particular strategy. And he's a first-generation billionaire, and there's less than 3,000 billionaires on the planet. So, I'm reading from my program notes here on Blog Talk Radio. Martin Luther King counted white folks' money instead of looking at the entire landscape, which I call the chessboard of the United States of America. There's an audio of him online, and where he talks about the United States government gave free land and some other freebies to white folks. And I'm not disputing that. But I bring them up as an example of, and I've said this on here before, if you're counting other people's money, you automatically blind yourself to the opportunities that you have right in front of your face. Now, while the United States did, in fact, give free land to people, there were also opportunities the buy land on the super duper cheap at the same time. Those who knew about it, including some black folk, took advantage of it, and it worked out well. But, yeah, I didn't know Martin Luther King, haven't read everything about him, but I'm just saying, based on that one statement that he made, he was counting white folks' money. And when you're counting white folks' money and you're counting their wealth, and which is really a form of coveting, if we had to go to the Ten Commandments on this one, you blind yourself to the opportunities that exist. I've never heard Kanye West say, you know what, I want reparations. And then you got to go through the rigmarole of going through the government and all this. He saw an opportunity, and he seized it. Now, you don't have to have a net worth like Kanye West to do that. Anybody within the sound of my voice, even if you're on welfare in Section 8, and you have the social services office listening to this live stream right now, there are plenty of places all over the United States where you can buy land on the super-duper cheap. Anybody can do it. I'm not saying they're not going to give it to you, but there's a lot of places where the land by the acre doesn't cost a lot of money, and it's almost like they're giving it to you. But you know, you might have to come out of your pocket for $100 or $200, but it'll be yours. And you know, even if you get one, it's endless. Anyway, next thing I want to bring up in the program notes, Kanye mentioned that the United States is for sale. I agree with him, but I'm gonna go one step further. The United States has always been up for sale, officially since July 4th, 1776. You have had people, Africans, black Africans, that have come over here during the colonial times, during the Civil War, and they have taken advantage of business opportunities here in the United States, as well as other ethnic groups. The United States has always been up for sale. It is this place, historically, even before the official birth of the United States, July 4, 1776, it is a place for capitalists. The entire Western Hemisphere is a capitalist zone. What do they call it? What's this latest thing that they got from for opportunity zones? The entire Western Hemisphere has always been an opportunity zone. Always been. Before Columbus came over, before America Vespucci, you know, came over, the entire Western Hemisphere is an opportunity zone. It's always been up for sale. All right. Next talking point on where did the page go? Oh, wait a minute, I gotta find my studio again. I hit the wrong thing, the studio blanked out. Okay, while the page is repopulating. But where a lot of black Americans get caught up, not all, I don't know what the percentage is, once again, if you're busy counting up, it's just like, it's kind of childish, really, in my opinion. It's like two kids, and, you know, the parent gives them milk and cookies for a snack. And then one sibling knows there's a little bit more milk in his sibling's glass versus his glass. And the other sibling notices that his siblings, his chocolate chip cookies are a little bit bigger than his. And then they feel slighted. You know, look, it's milk and cookies, man. If you want more milk, you can get some if there's any available. And if you want more cookies, you can get those if there's any more available. But on a critical mass basis, we have got to stop counting. Stop looking at the other person's plate. Stop counting their money. Stop counting their wealth. Now, I suspect that's how Kanye, once again, he's a first-generation billionaire. Let's look at some common denominators here, because he's a hip-hopper. Kanye West, Dr. Dre, billionaire, Rihanna, billionaire, Jay-Z, billionaire, Jay-Z's wife, what's her name? Her name's right on the tip of my tongue. Beyonce, billionaire. So how did these people, let's just go with those names, okay? So we're talking about first-generation billionaires, black. Every last one of them, black, okay? So the common, and once again, there are, matter of fact, let me get accurate on here. Let's see, number of billionaires in the world. Okay, there are 2,668 billionaires worldwide. All right, that ain't many. And you got practically 8 billion people on the planet. That ain't many. So let's look at the common denominator of the billionaires I just named. Jay-Z, Beyonce, his wife, because she's got her money in her own right. Rihanna, Dr. Dre, and Kanye. I've just named 5 people. Now, matter of fact, if anybody can guess what's the common denominator with those 5, and don't say money. No, that's not it. What's the common denominator with those 5 people? First generation billionaire. I'll throw out a clue. They weren't counting nobody's money. Okay, they didn't get it. They didn't get it. You know what? Speaking of which, for you reparations people, there's nobody on the Forbes 400 who got there by being on Section 8. There's nobody on there who got there by getting a reparations check. There's nobody on that list who got it by going through the social services office. I'm just saying. Those are some common denominators, too. But there's a common denominator, okay, between Kanye, all the people I just named, Kanye, Dr. Dre. I don't even know, half these people might not even go into college. But if you think you know the common denominator, give us a call, 619-768-2945. What do you think the common denominator is? There's one, right? Matter of fact, they did something. Matter of fact, for you Ados people, they did something that the Eidos people are not doing. They did something or are doing something that Dr. Umar Johnson hasn't even put out there. The common denominator, and they're part of a group. I just read it. There are less than 3,000 billionaires on the planet. There are 2,668 billionaires on the planet. But there's something that they have all in common. That if you follow the same, if you don't have to go the exact same steps they did, but there's a general common denominator. If you follow that, you can be a billionaire too. All right, let's see. So the last program note I have here is Black folks, you cannot be free people's money. It's not going to happen. You know what? You might get reparations. You know, because they got something going on in Illinois and North Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina, and California. I keep seeing something every now and then about California reparations. And then there's the H.R. 40 bill. And you might get that. You just might get that. But you won't be free. You won't get free. I've just named five people, Black. None of them are Rhodes Scholars. I don't know if any of them are college graduates. There's some common denominators there. But you got to take a look at it. Now, there are other Black billionaires, first generation. I understand LeBron James has joined those ranks. And Michael Jordan joined those ranks some time ago. Of course, this is entertainment and sports, though. But there's a very important common denominator there. On the business side, you got Bob Johnson and his first wife with BET. There's a common denominator that joins in with the rest of these people. And there are others that are first generation billionaires. The first five I named is like, their common denominator is like, if I say the wrong thing, I'll be giving it away. All right, so we're going to go to the phone lines here momentarily. We'll be right back.
You give me that funny feeling in my tummy. Yeah, that's right.
And that was Kanye West. He got together with some choir. So that's crazy old Kanye, but like I say, he's crazy like a fox. And he, like I say, if you go to our Facebook page, It's Miles TV on Facebook, and you'll see a part of his 4,000-acre spread that he purchased in, Wyoming. See, he didn't get caught up with, now imagine if he got caught up with, we didn't get our 40 acres. Imagine if he got caught up with that. Imagine if he went into victim mode over that. There's a lot of people, matter of fact, everybody within the sound of my voice, the opportunity for you to get your 40 acres exists. You might not need 40. Okay. You might not need it. That's acres the size of a football. But that's quite a bit. That kind of stuff, at least you need for me. I don't know about the rest of you. You know, when you start dealing with, man, I need a number on a little 14 or 15 I got right. I need partners on the little bit I got right now. That's with 14, 15 acres. So when you get into those numbers, you're going to need some partners, in my opinion. And partners could include family, immediate family, but it's not a one man job, in my opinion. But had he been caught up on, I didn't get my, which a lot of you out there are crying over spilled milk. We didn't get our 40 acres. You got another crowd of people, you know, hoping that they'll get reparations on a, you know, there's people that hope they will get reparations on a federal level, and there's people that are, man, any kind of level that we get any kind of reparations from the government. I would say, now, once again, if I said this on here many times before, reparations comes in many forms. While many of you, I don't know the number, I don't know the percentage, while many of you who are pro-reparations, which is nothing wrong with that, if that's where you are, that's where you are, while many of you are waiting for the government, the man, the system, to give you some type of reparations, while some of you are still crying over spilled milk that we were supposed to get 40 acres, or you, not you, but your ancestors, because you weren't living back then. Well, you're crying over that, and while some of you have post-traumatic slave syndrome in your DNA here in 2022, while you're crying over that 40 acres, Kanye, and others like Kanye, I'm just saying, you know, he's our profile, that if they've gone out and they've gotten their 4,000 acres. And you know what the common denominator is with them? They are not counting somebody else. It's too many of us counting our ancestors' money. They didn't get it. What makes you think you're going to get it? Anyway, okay, some other trending topics before we go to the news. Before we go to the phone. Something that caught my attention. Crypto King added to the FBI's 10 most wanted fugitives. And let me read this real quick. Crypto King Ruja Ignatova, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, Ruja, J-A, Ignatova, I-G-N-A-T-O-V-A, added to the FBI's 10 most wanted fugitives list. So let's see what's happening with Ruja. Ruja Ignatova is the so-called crypto queen has now been named a most wanted fugitive by the FBI. The FBI added Ignatova to the most wanted fugitives list for allegedly defrauding investors of more than $4 billion through OneCoin, a cryptocurrency company she helped found in 2014. You know what? I got people hawking crypto to me at least 2-3 times a week. But you know what? And none of them wants to get on the phone and have a conversation. Not one of them. No Zoom calls, nothing. Anyway, the move comes after Interpol added Ignatova 42 as most wanted or a list earlier this year. It is an important tool for us, the top 10 list. Let's see. Let's get some background here. Ignatova, a Bulgarian lawyer, claimed to have invented a cryptocurrency to rival Bitcoin. She and others allegedly made false statements while soliciting investments, promoted one coin through a multi-level marketing strategy, according to the FBI. OneCoin also claimed to have a private blockchain as opposed to a public and verifiable one that other virtual currencies have. And the value of OneCoin was determined by the company rather than the market demand, said the FBI. You know what? I'm going to pay more close attention to this particular type of, cryptocurrency in particular, that as a general thing, not this one particular one. But there's a movie on, and the reason why I want to study it more is because you're going to get some people that are really going to become wealthy off of this cryptocurrencies, because the teeny, teeny, tiny bit I know about it, it's industry, I guess. It's not, the government hasn't really got in there full swing yet. You know, that I guess that might vary from country to country. But we're in a digital age. We're in the age of the Jetsons. So there's a lot of disruption in various industries coming out, and a lot of industries that are being birthed. So getting back to this Ignatova. She's Bulgarian. Well, apparently, and I'm looking at her poster here, Ignatova is the only woman on the FBI's 10 most wanted fugitives list, and it's the 11th in the 72-year history, said the FBI, which offered a reward up to $100,000 for information leading to her arrest. She was known to travel throughout Eastern Europe and the Mideast and may have had plastic surgery to alter her appearance. While speaking at an event in London in June 2016, Ignatova told the crowd that she believed that OneCoin would become the number one cryptocurrency in the world. And let me comment on that. Now, this might not become that, but it's my belief on the teeny, teeny fraction of a fraction of a fraction, little teeny little bit I know about cryptocurrency, alternative currencies. It's, I mean, the cat's out of the bag. One thing I've noticed in various interruptions, industry interruptions and industry births in the last 10 years or so, is, and I'll give some examples. You take tiny houses. Okay. The way I interpret tiny houses is this. It's an interruption and also revolt against a segment of the banking industry that deals with mortgages, the majority of people, the people that I've met personally, and that are involved in tiny houses, they're building their own tiny house. They're not getting a mortgage. They're not taking out a loan. They're building it cash out of pocket. Even the ones who buy tiny homes and haven't listed a hammer or nail, you know, to build anything, they're buying it because it's low enough, many of them, not all, but most of them are low enough in price where they can buy it for cash and they're mortgage-free. So that's taking away mortgage money that would have gone to a mortgage company, a bank, or a finance company, or even, you know, government insurance programs, FHA, VA, and all that type of stuff. So you got a disruption there. All right. Airbnb is a disruption in vacation lodging. The vacation lodging business has been around forever. Even with Jesus, I mean, with Joseph and Mary and Jesus in that manger, you know, then that they were looking for a vacation spot. They were looking for an Airbnb of their day. And all that was available was, well, you know, I can rent you up. I can rent you out this manger. Okay. So in 2022, you know, the disruption, you know, with normal vacation lodging, hotels, motels, Holiday Inns, and all that type of stuff is, you know, peer-to-peer stuff. People, you know, are renting out tree houses, backyards, tents, spare bedrooms, pimped-out garages, pimped-out sheds. And the disruption is, because Airbnb is basically an app that government has not figured out a way to regulate it yet. They haven't figured out a way to regulate any apps yet. And the three guys who founded that, they're billionaires all in their 30s. There's a clue in there that leads to that first thing I was talking about with the common denominator with those five black folks. How did they become billionaires? But anyway, so, all right, Uber and Lyft, same thing. Apps that government hasn't found a way to regulate yet. So we're in, and basically Airbnb, and I mean with Uber, man, look, there's not only, you know, peer-to-peer driving, you know, if you need a ride somewhere, you know, they also have Uber Eats. You know, when you want breakfast brought up to you in the morning, or, you know, a hot meal during the day or early evening. I don't even know how late people stay open. But Uber Eats, you know, that's a micro industry in itself. You know, you got Instacart, you know, I mean, I, at least two, three times a month, maybe four, I'm ordering something through an app. So these are interruptions. And swinging back to, you know, cryptocurrency, you know, whatever happens to, and you know what? This person, let me get her right name. I mean, her name again here. Ruja Ignatova. Life is really crazy. She'll be eventually caught. All right, she'll be eventually caught. But she might come out on top, and here's what I'm saying. I said might. At one time, some prosecutor or DA somewhere here in the United States tried to indict Ray Kroc of McDonald's fame. Because when what he was doing at the time with the franchise and what he was doing with the, you know, he thought he had a criminal case. It didn't come through. We know Ray Kroc came on top of that. The guy who came up with the original concept of the United States Air Force was originally court-martialed for the idea. Now the United States Air Force is one of the main branches of armed forces here in the United States. Airbnb, which I mentioned a few minutes ago, which started in San Francisco, now San Francisco is one of the cities that's trying to restrict Airbnbs in the city that actually was birthed there. Those guys were just trying to pay their rent. That's how it started. They weren't trying to start a business. They were just trying to, you know, avoid eviction. And eventually it turned into, you know, what it is today. So, Ruja Ignatova, who knows? But regardless of what happens to her, the cat is out of the bag. Cryptocurrency is here to stay. Who's going to end up being number one? I have no idea. And when I say cat out of the bag is this. People are gravitating towards industries that have little or no government regulation at this time in history. Like I say, you have there's a lot of disruption going on right now, various industries. And there's a lot of industries that are being birthed right now. So this Ruja Ignatova case should be an interesting case to follow. Now, I'm reading a little bit more about this. Several others have been charged in connection with OneCoin, including Ignatova's brother, Kostastan Ignatova, who ran the business after she disappeared from public view. He was arrested on March 2019 on wire fraud conspiracy charge stemming from his role in the international pyramid scheme. Federal prosecutors, he pleaded, guilty to multiple felonies, including he's awaiting sentencing. Attorney Mark Scott was convicted in 2019 for his role in laundering $400 million worth of fraud proceeds on behalf of OneCoin leadership and is awaiting sentencing, prosecutors said. Carl Sebastian Greenwood, another OneCoin co-founder, is awaiting trial on fraud charges. Okay, so, regardless of what happens in this case, or you got some convictions already, there's going to be somebody or somebodies that are going to get cryptocurrency right, and there are probably some out there getting it right already. Because, like I said, I know very little about it. And, like I say, the cat's out of the bag. People want something that is market-driven, not government-driven. At least that's my take on it. Okay. There are other trending topics here, but I'm not going to go into those. Let's see. 314, your mic is open. Okay, he probably stepped away.
Well, let's see here. Ellie, I sent you a couple of text messages.
Yeah, my phone's on charge right now because I got down to 3%. Oh, wait a minute, Bianchi. Hold it. Wait a minute. If you said something, repeat
you
it again.
You got to have your phone, won't you? You got to have your phone ready to go.
I had to put it on charge.
My goodness. If you're going to be a good businessman, it's some very good information on you need to check out.
All right.
Huh?
Huh?
I said, it's some good information that we sent you.
Well, it always is. It always is. Ask me, what's your take on this, because I just read about it for the first time. This one coin thing, cryptocurrency.
Well, you got people out there that's going to try to scam you in anything. You have to know how to go about researching these companies. That's why a lot of companies are not allowed to sign up Americans, because they don't meet the muster. Now, I don't mean that Americans can't do business with them, but a lot of companies aren't allowed to. Binance wasn't allowed to do business in the United States until they complied and they became Binance U.S. They actually got two sides of the business. Congress instructed the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission to require all those who would initiate these crypto investment projects, just like anything else, all of them and their partnerships and associates, they should be licensed and bonded.
Let me ask you this. I'm not a big fan of network marketing or multi-level marketing. And in this article, they said OneCoin, I guess, used that business model or allegedly used that model. What do you think about that mess between network marketing and crypto?
I don't mess with that. That ain't really network marketing. It's what you call affiliates.
Okay.
In crypto. And it's basically the same to some extent. I know people that does it. I think I emailed you some more information on showing a person's weekly payout.
Mm-hmm.
It would be about $12,000 a week.
Now, that kind of payout, I'm just speculating. That's not for a beginner to get into that type of investment.
Well, no. What separates beginners from seasoned is how much money you got to invest.
Well, not only that, is
you not mind losing.
You also have to have a person that knows how to do the research before they invest anything.
Do you mind losing $2,000?
I do.
Well, some people don't.
But I've lost that before in the past, and I just have to stomach it and all right, move on. It's a new day tomorrow.
Yeah, but the thing is that when you get involved, initially you didn't mind losing $2,000.
Well, that's true.
That's the whole premise of which don't play with something you don't mind losing.
Yeah, you do have to have that attitude.
Then, too, some people like risk. The higher the risk, the better, the greater the reward. Some people get in, think they're going to get rich all of a sudden. It don't happen like that.
No, I don't have that mindset.
And then you got to learn.
I've never had that mindset.
I'm doing stocks and options. I remember one time I lost $80,000. You learn.
That's how you have to look at it. It's a learning experience.
When Donald Trump came into business, we took $100,000 and increased it 8 times. Donald Trump left. It's time to leave something alone. That's why you got some idiots out here who don't know the difference between how to use politics. One is you play him all the time. But what can you say? See, when you're doing that, you're actually playing against somebody else. Because everything that you open, you have to settle it. Every sale has to be settled with a buy. Every buy has to be settled with a sale. And once you learn the psychology of the market, which is basically what people are doing, then you stand a chance of being very profitable. And the technology that they have nowadays that allows you to see what's going on, especially with price action, if you know what you're looking at and know how to use it, you can be highly profitable. Heck, I've watched some people make a couple $100,000 in 3 hours. So that's usually their trading time from the time the market opens. At 9 o'clock, sometimes they get in on pre-market. But most wise people use pre-market to get an idea on what going to happen once the market opens. And they've done it.
You got some people that when they're starting out, they want to get the results on day one or week one of what you just stated, or at least the first 30
that's
days.
What usually go on.
They want to
that's
hit big immediately.
On. That's what usually go on with black businesses, too. That's why all this stuff is overpriced. They want to make up for slavery, Jim Crow, segregation, and discrimination in one damn sale. That's why they go out of business.
You got a good point.
And then, too, they use it as a main income. They get their butt whooped every time somebody who knows what they're doing, like them Asians, they whoop them up. Whoop them up real good.
Good point.
That's why people
point.
Say they
would,
well, we need to have
a
black bank. Let me ask you a question. What's the advantage of having a black bank?
The advantage of having one? That's a good question. I you know what? I really couldn't I really couldn't answer that. Now, I think if you're thinking logically, okay, let's say you got two banks. Regardless of color, you have to decide which bank would be best for you and whatever type of banking needs that you need, regardless of race. But if you just nail it down to a black bank or white bank or whatever, you could be making a mistake.
Well, yeah, at some given point, it don't make no difference what color. But you do your research over the weekend, come back Monday and tell me, people saying, we need to have our own bank. What's the advantage of having a black bank for those that know?
On the surface, probably people think they probably have a better chance of getting a loan or mortgage or whatever they're seeking with people that look like themselves. But something that you mentioned yesterday, if the applicant is toxic, why would a bank, any bank, including a bank, a black bank, want to make a loan, a toxic loan, or a loan to a person that's toxic, and then it becomes a toxic loan, then they got a problem.
That's right. A black bank ain't no more given to give out its money to some ignorant idea than anybody else is going to do that. And if fool go into a bank saying that I need some money to start this idea I have, basically what they're saying. Haven't done no research, being able to prove anything, don't have no track record of ever being successful at something, not even with themselves. So who in the heck's going to take a chance on that when technically you got a fiduciary duty to do things, make decisions, and perform at the best interest of those that you are being employed by, and that's your stockholders. That's why this whole idea about having black societies, black towns, black communities, that ain't going to be no all black nothing. It's totally impossible to do that. How's that going to work? It ain't gonna work. You can't have no black, you know. Not in the United States. You ain't gonna have it no place else in the world either. You ain't gonna walk up in Nigeria and say you gonna build a, we gonna take this land and build a town. You end up dead.
Well,
now that land stuff that you were talking about, that kind of, I like Mr. West. He's a very good business person.
Obviously he is. He's doing something right.
I like it when he said that slavery was a choice. He's absolutely right. Whether
we talked about that
ended up here, when it ended up here is a different thing. Well, it started over there, it was a choice.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't have to engage in it, but they did because it was a profitable enterprise. And then also it was a way to get rid of who you didn't want. As you
ethnic cleansing, they call it.
Yeah, a lot of what we call
Castro did
descendants.
It too.
Yeah, what you call descendants here are descendants of those that wasn't wanted at all, undesirables. People don't like to hear that, but that's a fact. You ever went to a garage sale?
Yes, I have.
You had
stuff
on the table.
Garage sale, that people are getting rid of what they no longer need or want.
That's right. The stuff out there, the stuff that's out there being presented to you is what they don't want. But when you look over their shoulder back over there in the corner and say, what about that? What do they tell you? Oh, that ain't for sale. That ain't for sale. And slaves was property. That's just the way it goes in countries. It was property there, so when they came here, why change the ideology? They was property here.
Right.
But no, there's a lot of good platforms and projects in using cryptocurrency. In the beginning, people bought it to speculate, which paid off for, you know, a lot of individuals at the time. And now with the advent of artificial intelligence, and really it's not nothing new. Some of these ideas was being teetered with back in the 90s. But these digital performers can perform faster than a human being can, and they perform without the inclusion of emotions. That's why come they act as programmed. And they're very disciplined. So in a given amount of time, you can have a consistency that's par none. Consistency
right.
That can earn you anywhere from 1.5% a day, 3% a week. That's sustainable. A lot of things aren't sustainable.
True. Many
so
things
you
aren't.
You have to have a way to run trials to see what is sustainable. There's two things. You got those that look at things from a logical point of view, and you got those who look at things from an emotional point of view. You had some Haitians doing a platform, E-Mini or something like that. They was crooks. Also, you got to look at who you're dealing with, where they coming from. What's the old cliche? You can't put a dog in a meat house.
No, there's too much temptation for a dog.
A.G. Gaston found that out when he started his ice cream venture called Brown Cow. Negro stole sugar. that he was working for.
No, same with a liquor store today. That's why most liquor stores, at least the ones I've run across, are family-based businesses. Because you got to watch, you know, a case of scotch leaving out or whatever.
Yeah, so you got to look at the people who's behind this, because some people come from cultures that has more integrity bred in them than others.
Well, yeah, in a lot of your Eastern countries, what is it, Japan? Or you know what, not even Japan. Even in Afghanistan, Iran, and those places, Iraq, in certain cultures, they have honor killings. If the woman, well, I guess it could be the son too, but if they bring shame upon the family, somebody within the family will take them out.
Yeah, China is pretty honorable. You order something from there, you pretty much going to get what you ask for. If it's wrong, then they will make it right.
Mm-hmm.
They
read something a couple of years ago. Somebody was this American. He left, accidentally left his wallet or whatever he had on a subway train in Japan. So as he discovered it, he went back to the source and he retrieved it. And there's a slim chance of that happening in this country.
No, unless you leave something that nobody know what the hell it is.
Right.
I was doing a project downtown St. Louis. We left a piece of equipment at the bottom of a scaffold. It was a welder.
Mm-hmm.
And Friday, after quitting, came back Monday, it was still sitting there.
They probably didn't know what it was.
They didn't know what the hell it was.
Didn't know what it was and didn't know the value of it.
No, didn't know the value of it. That goes on all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
I see people breaking houses, walk all over valuable stuff. Don't know what the hell they, that's dumb. But it's dumb to be breaking in somebody's house anyway, right?
That is true. You shouldn't be breaking in.
Yeah, so
you work
if you
just
get
like
property
people
out
that
home,
you broke into, you can get what they got.
If you get property laying out in Wyoming, you got something going on, and you living in Florida, well, you need to learn how to fly.
I guess.
Hey, you going to do drive out there?
No. I'm not a big, and I've done my share of flying, and will continue to do so. But you know what? I probably need to take a basic course first, just to learn how the plane operates.
Well,
I understand the takeoff is easier than the descent. I thought it would be the opposite way around because I don't want to complain. I feel kind of uneasy when we're ascending, but when we're landing, I feel all right.
Well, both of them are dangerous, but I'm teaching him how to do that. I can take him so far, then I can't go no further with him. But if you're going to have some arrangements like that, and take advantage of it and make it also...
Let me ask you this. You know anything about helicopters? I'm not a fan of helicopters at all, but...
They're hard to fly.
Yeah, I figure it... Yeah, I'd rather... They give, like, little helicopter rides, you know, because I'm not that far from Orlando. So
once
you
learn them, they're easy.
Highway. But I'd rather get in a plane any day than...
Once you learn them. But once you learn them, they're easy, but... Learn them in the heart. And you know, too, you talk about not depending on whites. You got, who in the hell don't believe you're going to have a problem with it.
Look, anybody, I like dealing with people who are qualified, no matter what they look like. That's where I'm at with it.
hell. Talking about if you do, you slay. That's a bunch of crap. And, you know, if you fly an instrument through the clouds, you can't see nothing. Well, guess what? That person down there on the ground looking at their radar screen, 9 out of 10 chances, you know what color their skin is going to be. Well, your life is in their hands.
Right.
They know who you are,
I've
right?
I've only run across, and I've done my share of flying since little as a passenger, and I've only, from recent memory, man, I can only remember maybe one pilot that was black.
Well,
he did a damn good job, though. It was a very smooth flight. But I'm sure there's others out there. I just in my travels, I can only recall one.
Not
read articles about, you know, black pilots, particularly black female pilots, on a commercial airliner, but it's not a whole lot of us out there.
If I hear you on the radio, I can detect what your skin color is, L.A.
Well, most people can, I believe.
So if you on the radio...
Robin, on the other hand, I've heard people ask, you know, because some people, a lot of people don't, Robin's black, but some people don't know. Then I've heard them ask.
If I hear you on the radio and I'm a controller, I'm going to know you black. Let's listen to your voice.
Mm-hmm.
So if I got some
but
ales,
that's not what all people as you well know. Because not all, I mean, what does black sound like? Okay. Some, you can't tell.
Some you can't initially tell, but ultimately you can. Just like when you read articles and how people, how the writer of the article use words.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell if they are from the United States, or you can tell if they're from someplace else.
Absolutely.
I can tell if they're from Africa, how they use words, how they use pretense. I'll be back or I'm coming. How they use that description. You can tell where they're from if you know, generally, especially you ever read any illustrative instructions? You can tell.
Yeah, I've seen those
The hardest dialect to be able to decipher, I would say, is Indian. Because when you get some of those dialects, they got some very, very, you have to pay some extra attention to what they're saying to understand what they're saying. Because if you ask them to repeat it, that's kind of like being insulted.
Hmm.
But anyway, I've been talking to you for about 9 minutes.
Well, I'm
going to
look over those posts you sent me today. We're going to knock off really
heavy.
Have
a nice weekend.
But this is Monday's a holiday, isn't it?
I would give you some pointers on those cryptocurrency, but I know you share it with somebody that I wouldn't give information to if they were on the list.
I haven't said nothing you told me about anything. But I'm gonna read over what you sent me on the text. Like I said, my phone's charging up. But I've had people through Clubhouse, that app, and they got a lot of people on there selling crypto. So, but the turn off with them, and there's a bunch of them, is, all right, we met on Clubhouse, and then we're texting through the chat room application on there. All right, I get all that. But then, all right, I'm not chatting this whole conversation. So I'll ask them, all right, you have WhatsApp app or Facebook messages, you know, so we can talk on those telephonically without giving up a phone number. But all of them except for one, and even that one eventually.
Well, if
they do not want to talk by Zoom or on WhatsApp app.
No, if somebody is, if you signing up under somebody, like if I got a handful of people that I will share information with. Because I know that they're from my experience with them, how they're going to take it. I've had a long experience with them. And then I make sure that they're doing things success. First of all, I try it. If I try it and I know it in and out where I can talk and speak on it intelligently and with assurance and based on how it has performed, then I will share it with somebody else. Now, I have been wrong. I've had some pro platform where the rug was pulled out. But that's just the way it goes, especially the high-risk ones. The high-risk ones turn gives you a greater return. And some people like high risk. Some people, most people have more than one thing going on. I've had one where the rug was pulled out, but I had others that picks up that slack. I guess some programs pay over $1,000 a week constantly. Then you got some that pay much less, but they constant. The higher the promise, the greater the risk. The lower the promise, the long-term sustainability is just something that comes easy and gradually. You can much count on it to be there. But when you come up with those programs, projects that offer a big return, and they, that's just not sustainable. But people that get in those things very often, early, and get in with them heavy, then they leave, and they use a formula that they use, you know, percentage you take out, percentage you leave in, and it works. But at some point in time, it goes south. But anyway, I'm going to let you get to your weekend, man. Be careful.
Okay, then. I appreciate it. You have a good and safe one, and we'll be back on Monday.
All right. I'll see you.
All right.